to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report. We are doing a pledge drive for this network. Come on, folks. I know you're out there because I can hear you breathing. I've got a guy. Dr. Noon, are you in China today?
No. I'm back in West Virginia.
Really?
Yeah. I've been here 21 days just about. My father died last year, so my brother was dealing with my mother, so I'm here taking care of Mom. I'm a good cook, you know, and fixing the house up. I have a beautiful home. I don't. I mean, it's a family home overlooking the Kanoa River, this gorgeous spot, and reminds me of a place in China, up north, west in China, in the mountains. But you ask about Deng Xiaoping and Tiananmen Square. Deng Xiaoping took it on the chin. He was there. He knew the whole world was watching. He had to make a decision. He knew his country was not ready for democracy. See, to us, everybody, that you just have to separate the different cultural and traditional values that a country has. And Deng Xiaoping knew that his people weren't educated enough to deal with freedom. He said, "You would give it away for the price of a loaf of bread if you were hungry, because you don't understand the responsibility of democracy and freedom." And that's the translation. You can look it up, what he had to say. And even Jiang Zemin told Tom Brokaw, "We don't want your values." You know, I mean, the big hit with when Clinton went over is human rights. You know, you don't let the homosexuals, you know, do's on that, that. He said, "Oh, no, we don't. Those are not values that we embrace. We don't feel that that's natural."
So let me, Dr. Noon, let me get this straight. The communist Chinese.
Well, now, listen, it is socialism with Chinese characteristics. It's quite a bit different from actual clean-cut communism.
Mm-hmm.
Communism is an easy thing to tell. Everybody is starving.
Right.
That's not China. People are getting rich. It has a 9.43 gross national product. We have a 2.42.
That's their annual growth rate?
Oh, boy. And they're moving. They're trying to hold it back. And America's just, it's its fourth trading partner. They have three other trading partners much larger than America. You know, people don't, you know, go online, study it. The facts are there. You know, it's not like, and everyone said, "Well, China lies." Excuse me, China lies? They haven't said anything about mass weapons of destruction. What do you mean the Chinese government lies? What do they lie about? I'm sure they lie about things. I know they do. But does that make them bad, or does that just make them internationally politically correct?
The latter, probably, not the former.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Dr. Noon, I appreciate your call. By the way, while you're here, you want to make a pledge to the network?
You know what? If I could right now I have to talk to my, I don't have money here. And I would talk to my mother. Maybe it will be small, and maybe it could be a monthly thing. If not, maybe just one check.
All right. Well, whatever.
You know,
whatever.
We're stuck in. With, I have bulldozers coming up to put in a new place where the water. Our house was destroyed a couple of years ago, condemned. And Dad put a couple hundred thousand into rebuilding it. And I'm stuck with a lot of things. But
I understand.
There's always some change. And believe me, for a couple of years, your station has been very important to me in China.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We've got to run. Dr. Noon, thank you so much. I appreciate it a lot. And thanks for listening. And say hi to your kids for me. We'll be right back, folks.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Or click on our banner at RBNLive.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Oh, and folks, we've got people out there that, well, they have a lot of money. Story by Bob Feldman. The alternative media censorship sponsored by the CIA's Ford Foundation. Now, I called Ford Motor Company, and I talked to their PR people, and they assured me that this Ford Foundation is not connected with Ford Motor Company. If I ever find out that's the case, I'll start pickets around Ford, and they can sell it off to Nissan. They can take all their assets and go home. The multi-billion-dollar Ford Foundation's historic relationship to the CIA is rarely mentioned on Pacifica's Democracy Now!, Deep Dish TV show, Unfair's Counterspin Show, or Working Assets Radio, The Nation's Institute Radio Nation Show, or, and I do believe this guy's name is Barsimian's, David Barsimian's Alternative Radio Show, or in the pages of The Progressive, Mother Jones, and Z Magazine. Now, one reason may be because the Ford Foundation and other establishment foundations subsidize the establishment's left's alternative media gatekeepers / censors. Take Pacifica Democracy Now!, an alternative radio network with annual revenues of $10 million in 2000, whose national program director was paid a nice little tidy sum of $63,000 in that year. In the early 50s, when the CIA was using the Ford Foundation to help fund non-communist parallel left as liberal establishment alternative to an independent anti-establishment revolutionary left, the Pacifica Foundation was giving a $150,000 grant in 1951. Those are $51 folks, 1951 dollars, I should say, by the Ford Foundation's Fund for Education. Now, according to James Ledbetter's book, Made Possible By, the fund's first chief was Alexander Frazier, the president of Shell Oil Company, besides subsidizing Pacifica Foundation in the early 50s. And the reason why I'm telling you this story is because world government is world socialism, okay? You bring up the communists, like communist Russia. Ronald Reagan's idea is to have, we had the space race in the 60s, and then we had the arms race in the 80s. And, well, Ronnie, sorry about this. I hate to besmirch your legacy, but you're a damn fool. Because the only thing that did was put this country in massive debt. And what did Eisenhower, in his farewell address, say and warning the American people about the military-industrial complex? Oh, yes. We need to borrow the money because we don't have that kind of money. And, of course, the international banksters are right there, the ones that want the world government. And, well, we lead this to world socialism, and all we're all great big happy family. We're all the same. Same laws, same stuff, same money, same everything. But, you know, the international gangsters, along with the international corporations, will control it all. Now, back to the Ford Foundation. Now, they also spent a lot of money subsidizing many other non-commercial radio or television stations in the United States. According to Ledbetter's Made Possible By, between 1951 and 1976, the Ford Foundation spent nearly $300 million on non-commercial radio and television. In the late 50s and early 60s, Pacifica relied primarily on listener-sponsored contributions to fund the operations of its radio stations. And in the early 70s, Pacifica also began to accept funds from the U.S. establishment's Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. According to rogue state author William Blum, who worked as KPFA staff person in the early 70s, but in the early 1990s, some Pacifica administrators decided to again seek grants from the Ford Foundation and other establishment foundations. As former Pacifica development director Dick Bunce wrote in the appendix to a strategy for national programming, that document, which was prepared for the Pacifica National Board in September of 1992, entitled Appendix Foundation Grant Seeking National Programming Assumptions for Foundation Fundraisings. They like long tags, I guess. And this is what it says. The National Foundation grant-seeking arena has changed enough in recent years to make activity in this arena potentially worthwhile for organizations prepared to be players and partners in the same field as NPR, APR, maybe some others. The foundation funding of interest is in gifts of $100,000 or more a year for several years. Three of America's six largest foundations, Ford, MacArthur, Pew, have begun to fund public broadcasting, public radio in particular, and evidently intend to continue doing so. Pacifica requested meetings with each of these foundations earlier this year and was treated seriously enough in subsequent meetings to give us some hope of securing funding, possibly from all three. A report sheet on this work is included, as they said, in Appendix 3. Beyond these three foundations, there are no others among the country's 100 largest which have made substantial grants to public broadcasting. So the second tier of the foundation prospects looks substantially different from the first tier, requiring more work on our part to open doors, establish standing, and find a workable fit. Now, I'm not going to bore you with the rest of this. Suffice it to say that these people, ladies and gentlemen, the left gatekeepers, ironically enough, the Democrats, that are now termed as being the left, are now the little carriers of the water pails for the Marxists. But you see, it's really not communism that they want. They want world socialism. Because as Dr. Noon just reminded everybody that, you know, under a communist system, nobody has anything to eat. What they need you in the trenches, digging the ditches, and working real hard. And, you get your wages, but well, we're just going to have to tax you on them. And after all, being a world citizen, human rights, all these other fancy, high-sounding ideals, this is what is being pushed on people. This is the problem we have in this country with the so-called left. I liked what Khrushchev said about the left in this country. When a reporter asked him, "Sir, what about the communists here in the United States?" He said, "Here we call them liberals." So this dynamic action, these opposing forces, we've got conservatives, they're going to show you the way. Conservatives? Oh, you mean the Project for a New American Century people? Kind of conservatives? The George Bush brand of conservatism? Oh, and let's layer on a little thick swatch there of, oh, I am a Christian. I believe I talk to God in my garden. If he's getting any answers back, he sure ain't talking to God. And who knows? He may be hearing voices in his head, for all we know. So you would think, if somebody really wanted people to be free around the world, that they would adopt a form of government like we had in this country. We still have. It is in our hearts, ladies and gentlemen. It's still there. And these people are so arrogant in their timelines and their symbologies and everything else. They could have waited for another generation or two to die off in this country, and they could have taken the whole thing without a shot being fired. But that's not them. Their Achilles heel is their arrogance. By the way, George Soros, this wonderful guy, in 1995, George Soros Open Society Institute had given the Pacifica Foundation a $40,000 grant. And in 1996, the Carnegie Corporation of New York gave Pacifica a $25,000 grant to launch its Democracy Now! Show. In 1997 came a $13,000 grant from J.M. Kaplan Fund to Pacifica to provide support for Democracy Now! And in 1998 came a $25,000 grant to Pacifica from the Public Welfare Foundation to report on hate crimes and related issues as part of its Democracy Now! Public Affairs Radio Program, an additional $10,000 to support Democracy Now! And from the J.M. Kaplan Fund. That same year, the Ford Foundation gave a $75,000 grant to Pacifica toward marketing consultancy, as they called it, a promotional campaign and program development activities for radio programs, especially Democracy Now! In 1998 and 1999, two grants totaling $22,500 were also given to Pacifica by the Boehm Foundation to support Democracy Now! Show. In early 2002, an additional Ford Foundation grant of $75,000 was given to Deep Dish TV for the television news series Democracy Now! To continue incorporating the aftermath of September 11th attack into future broadcasts. Now, besides being presently subsidized by the Ford Foundation to air Pacifica's Democracy Now!, doesn't that bother some people, even the name of that? Democracy Now! Yes, we want two wolves standing there discussing how much they're going to eat of what you have. Democracy Now!, the show, Deep Dish TV, by the way, with an annual income of $158,000 in 2000, was also subsidized by the MacArthur Foundation in the 90s. Between 93 and 98, $190,000 in grants were given to Deep Dish TV by the MacArthur Foundation. And one of the members of Deep Dish TV's board of directors in recent years has apparently been a WBAI staff person named Mario Muliel. Ford Foundation grant of $200,000 was given in April 2002 to Estrella Foundation, whose former board finance committee chairperson, Leslie Kagan, is presently the chairperson of Pacifica's national board. The reason I'm telling you all this, ladies and gentlemen, here we have a freestanding network devoid of any of the social engineering crews out there that are seeking to destroy this country. We are a standalone entity, but we're only going to survive and grow with your help. We'll be right back.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Axiom, The Second American Civil War, a new novel by T. Edward Allen. Through corruption, greed, and incompetence, the neocons have brought the world to the brink of World War III. John Carter and his family are caught in the middle of a terrifying plunge into chaos. When the world economy collapses, America is brought down with it. The focal point is the ideological conflict between progressives and conservatives. And when civil war breaks out, Americans find that every axiom they took for granted has been overturned. Dangerously political and thought-provoking, T. Edward Allen takes readers on a wild ride and a glimpse into America's future with madmen at the helm.
Buy Axiom at www.axiom-thenovel.com. That's axiom-thenovel.com or find it at amazon.com. Get in on the buzz. Purchase your copy. Axiom, The Second American Civil War by T. Edward Allen.
Attention, if you're one of the millions of Americans who buy and trade stocks or invest in the real estate market, you'll want to hear this. Did you know that the Forex, foreign currency exchange market, trades over $2 trillion a day? That's more than the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ combined. Now, imagine being able to trade in the Forex without any prior trade experience or spending endless hours predicting market movements. Well, now you can. Introducing Freedom Rocks. Freedom Rocks' structured trading approach takes the guesswork out of what and when to buy by providing you a planned set of guidelines, all at a fraction of the cost of other similar type programs. And instead of focusing on thousands of stocks, Freedom Rocks focuses on the top four currency pairs. Our software tells you what to buy, how much to buy, and when to buy. Go to MySimpleForex.com. That's MySimple, the number four, the letter X.com. And join the thousands who've discovered Freedom Rocks. Remember, MySimple, the number four, the letter X.com.
I see these actors and these characters. You know, Bill Moyers. You know, I knew what Bill Moyers was about years ago. You know, he's the director of Schumann Foundation that began subsidizing a Fair's Counterspin radio show. $300,000. You know. And they gave a $150,000 grant to support promotion of a book called The Way Things Aren't, which was co-authored by Counterspin, co-host and producer Steve Randall. And in 96, an additional grant of $15,000 was given to the Schumann Foundation, whose president of Public Affairs TV, Inc., executive director Bill Moyers, was President Lyndon Johnson's press secretary in the 60s. Oh, that's right. The Second Coming of Franklin Delano, I Really Was a Communist, Roosevelt. His New Deal. Lyndon Johnson picked up the Great Society and more socialism during his tenure. You notice Lyndon Johnson didn't do a whole lot of public appearances and grew his hair long and subsequently died. And there wasn't a whole lot of fanfare about Lyndon Baines Johnson, was there? Well, these people are all connected together, ladies and gentlemen. They've been weaving their webs for for a long, long time. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to play music for the rest of the this broadcast. We have nobody that wants to call into the program. They're just out there quietly listening. They're doing the informational sponge thing, and they're not participating. And part of the psychological problem that we're having here, ladies and gentlemen, is nobody wants to participate. Everybody just wants to sit back. And quite frankly, if people do not change their paradigm of thought, we are not going to be successful. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. So, got any music you can play there? Yeah, look around. Find something. I don't care. I don't care what it is. Let's play it. I'll take a break for a few minutes. I've been on the air off and on all day long. I was here at 6:30 this morning, and that's about 11 hours ago. People aren't getting it. They are not getting it. And you won't openly talk and discuss it. You're playing little sheep out there, people, and I do not understand. What do you think? Let me ask you this. What do you think the percentage of people that call themselves patriots are actually involved in doing anything? Would you say it's 90% of them? 40% of them? 50% of them? Maybe 10% of them? I'll bet dollar to a donut that 70% of the people that consider themselves to be patriotic Americans, true patriots, not the Bill Clinton kind or the George Bush kind, either senior or junior, I'll bet you 70% of the people that consider themselves to be true American patriots, true to the Constitution, true to the tenets and the foundation of this country, I would safely say that 70% of you are not involved in anything. And you're letting 30% of the people carry the ball. Now, with those kind of numbers and that kind of attitude and those participatory numbers, do you think we're going to be able to get this country back? I don't think so. I really don't think so. Unless you've got a surprise that you're going to spring when the Second American Revolution starts. Because you know what? I was part of the militia back in the 1990s. As a matter of fact, I'm one of their founding members of all the militias here in this country. And I realized something. That it would be the people that would stand up first that would get mowed down the first in insufficient numbers. That's when I had an epiphany. That's when I had this great thought. That, you know what, if that ever does have to come to pass, the Second American Revolution, that we're going to need a few more people. A lot more people. So what I decided to do is start Communications Network. Start Republic Broadcasting Network. Actually, it was Republic Radio International initially, and then it was sold off, became Genesis Communications Network. I was promptly thrown off that network, and I thought, you know, I'm not done here, because somebody needs to do it right. And here's Republic Broadcasting Network, folks, but I don't know. Are we going to go flapping in the wind? Are we going to be this size for your personal enjoyment and entertainment and information? Are you going to play informational sponge? Be 70% of those people that are not contributing, that are not rolling up their sleeves, that are not getting involved and waking other people up? Are you going to sit back and watch 30% of the patriots in this country get mowed down in the streets, and you'll quietly walk in your damned houses and shut the door and shake in fear? Come on, people, wake up! Do I have your attention now?
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Gasoline prices have reached record highs, and with no relief in sight, what can you as an individual do to lessen the impact on your wallet? With a guaranteed minimum of 10% and up to 30% increase in your fuel mileage, you can deny the fat cat oil executives at least some of your hard-earned money. Introducing the Fuel Mule, a very simple but revolutionary product that fits around the fuel line in your car, truck, or furnace. Utilizing scientifically engineered industrial nickel cobalt magnets, the Fuel Mule device aligns the electrons of the atom and the molecules, allowing the fuel to burn more efficiently, resulting in increased horsepower, cleaner emissions, and fuel savings. The Fuel Mule normally sells for $149.95, but we're offering a temporary promotional price of only $89.95, plus shipping and handling. Quick and easy to install, order your Fuel Mule today by calling 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Do it now and start saving today.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Maybe when I said we're a standalone network, maybe people thought that we're standing alone. Maybe that's what they thought. Let's hear what Marianne in Arkansas has to say. Hello, Marianne.
Hello, John. God bless you.
You know what I think we need anymore? I think we need some Washingtons and some Andy Jacksons.
Oh, amen. Amen. I couldn't stand the thought that the phones were quiet. I had to call in. I may not be capable of a coherent thought, but I just want to put in my two cents. First of all, I got concerned a few months ago. I'd had my TV, my cable unplugged for years for by choice. And I plugged the thing in, and I started hearing a few things about outsourcing jobs and open borders and, you know, and I thought, we're too smart. We can't be doing this by accident. This has to be on purpose. So I got on the Internet and started doing some research, and I went from concerned to horrified. Absolutely sick, 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 and the more I know, the sicker I get. And then a friend of mine was, well, he turned me on to, you know, Republic Broadcasting Network, and so I started listening, and I listen every day. I hear you every day. And we've got to do it. There's no choice. We have to win. If we don't, we just don't want to think about what the alternatives would be. We have to win.
Well, Marianne, you undervalued your 2 cents. You're worth $1.298. Okay.
God bless you. Well, I just, and as far as, and I have some other stations that I listen to occasionally. Maybe I have a favorite program. But I know with consistency, I can get up in the morning and I can turn on RBN. And I can leave it on RBN all day long, all night long.
There's no disappointments here.
And I know that consistently I'm getting the truth. And I'm getting some wonderful, wonderful information from, you know, a variety of hosts. Your program I try to never miss. Dr. Bill Deagle's program I try to never miss. But every host, every program has got information that we all need to know. And of all the stations or the few stations that I'm aware of to listen to, yours is number one.
And we need to get bigger and badder because we are way, way behind the curve here.
Yeah. Well, and I want to say, and I do, I mean, I'm in prayer daily for this nation, but I will remember you and, you know, and other hosts by name and this broadcast by name before the throne every day because, I mean, it takes the protection of God to keep you people alive. Okay.
Well, Marianne, I'd be satisfied with you remembering me and God remembering me.
Yeah,
you know, I've said this before. If when I pass from this place, I don't care if people remember my name. I really don't because
right.
That's not the point of this.
I am
not some iconic, up on a pedestal type guy. You know, the most effective people I ever knew in my life were the unassuming types
Yes. That
just had a fire in their gut and a passion and a drive.
Absolutely.
All right.
And there's not a lot I can do financially. I'm one of those that's the without. I mean, I will tell you this. I called Round Rock, Texas yesterday and asked them to send me a welcome package. And if I can get my little feet up there in that area, you can expect me to show up and ask to volunteer in any department you can put me in. Okay?
All right. Well, Marianne, I'll tell you what. When the war starts, you can also leave a little food on the back porch. How's
yeah.
that?
Right.
All right. All right. Thank you, Marianne.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Just simple people, folks. We're all just simple people. But we have got to visualize yourself. No, I know this is going to be a stretch for a lot of people. But visualize yourself once again walking down your city streets or driving on your back country roads with the feeling that you're once again free, that you don't have to worry about anybody coming to get you, especially your government, or anybody trying to steal unwarranted money out of your pocket, that we're not a country that's deeply in debt and hated by half of the planet, that we can once again go back to our foundation and our roots and once again be the shining light and beacon of this planet. Just imagine that. I've done it 1,000 times. And you will get what you work for, what you strive for. But first you got to show up. First you got to be there. First you got to be counted. And people are so scared they can't count on anybody. But let me ask you a question. Can you count on yourself? Jim in Canada. Hello, Jim.
Hi, John. Nice to talk to you.
Yes, sir. Nice to talk with you.
I've already phoned in, and I'd been thinking of giving you guys a raise in my monthly contribution. It's a very small amount, but I'd been thinking of calling in, and because of the quality of your lineup, just as your prior caller was saying, across the board, the hosts are so wonderful on the network, which was good to begin with. So, you know, I've given you guys a raise today due to your prompting today, which is good that you did that today. I'd like to tell the listeners down in the States why this Canadian supports RBN. The reason is very simple. I would support a network up in my country like RBN, but there isn't one, and there can't be one because it would be illegal because of the hate speech rules which we have in place, and which John, with the help of the Reverend, what's his name again, John Pike?
Reverend Pike, yes.
Yes. The RBN network has made substantial efforts to help defeat the hate bill. In fact, I called down from Canada. Do you remember the calls into the Senator, John, last year?
Yes.
Earlier this year?
Yes. You were one of the callers?
Absolutely.
And you told them that I'm from Canada, I've seen the damage they can do, and don't do it down here.
I did, because if I lose RBN, where am I going to get my information?
Well, and I'm looking at it this way. You're looking at it from the listener side. I'm looking at this from my side, and I'm straining my eyes to the horizon, and I'm looking 360 degrees, and I don't see enough of us yet. And what, Jim, we have to do here, we must absolutely positively do this, is we have to get over our fear. This is the tool of the devil. This is the tool of our government. This is the tool that they have been wielding to keep us in check, to keep us like little eunuchs.
Well, John, I'm going to make a confession to you here publicly, which I've thought of doing in the past, but didn't, simply because of fear, I suppose. But you have individually helped me get over a large fear. And what was that? You're the first guy that maybe the only guy I've ever heard speak publicly about getting in the police face. And I can't remember the specific comments, but you personally have given me a lot of strength and helped me overcome a lot of fear. Sure, there are some that remain, but I'm a lot further ahead because of the attitude of non-fear that you've displayed over the years on the radio. And I mean that sincerely. I've thought of telling you before, and I didn't even want to say it because I'm calling for more. Well, I don't know if we're more of a police state than you anymore. We used to be, but now you guys have caught up so quickly.
Mm.
But I wouldn't go this far yet, but for listeners that remember, in the aftermath of Katrina, when there were rumblings of Mexican troops up in the streets, and John got on the air, and he was not afraid to say what he said. I don't know if you want to say it again now, John.
Oh, I, as a matter of fact, I'll tell you how that came about. I got one of my employees here to call Governor Perry's office, the news media down here, to report that they heard this guy on the radio making a statement that if I see one Mexican in a Mexican troop inside this country that is armed, I will drop him in his tracks. And you know what I heard back from that? Did I get a visit from the FBI? Did I get a visit from the local police? Did I have surveillance all around me? Absolutely not.
Listen, people, John is setting the example. That took guts. I don't think I could do it, I'll be honest with you.
Jim, I've got to have the guts because I can't adopt that fear. I would have to commit suicide. If I adopted that kind of fear and I had to back down, that would be the eventual end and death of me.
Let me just tell you some good news from north of the line here, John, before I go. The top, absolutely top-rated talk radio show in Vancouver, British Columbia, the largest city in my province, on the fifth anniversary of 9/11, the host, who's a real milk toast kind of guy, he's afraid to stray from the middle ground. Of all people, I've been listening to him for 16 years. He had on a guy, I think his name was Sunil Ram. But regardless, this guy was disputing the government line of 911 to a great extent. And what shocked me was the host was letting him talk and was agreeing. We are making headway, folks, for this guy up here to be opening his eyes to conspiracy speaking is unbelievable. In 16 years, it's never happened.
So good things
are happening.
Yeah, I was going to say, it must have been pretty obvious to him, and he had decided that it's time now, if I will not say the words, I will allow somebody else to say them.
Precisely.
Yeah.
That was very, very exciting, John. So I'll let you go. But
all right. Well, I thank you, Jim. I thank you for your kind words, and I don't like I really don't like being on air and being the angry young man. I do not because number one, I'm not that young anymore, in the second place, for all of these years, I have not understood the fear factor because they're what is in people's hearts and in their minds, and all they have to do, as I said, is show up, just be there, and to look at each other, and look each other in the eye. And to know that they have friends, they have, if necessary, when the day comes, comrades in arms, because there's not going to ever be another United States of America. There never will be, not if the globalists take control.
Nope.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate it, Jim. Andrew in California. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Thanks for the show.
Yes, sir.
Well, I just heard you... saying that no one was calling in, and it's actually this is the second time I've called in today. I called in earlier to set up for monthly payments.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you. I just like opened my eyes and the last maybe 6 months to a year, something had been bothering me for maybe 2 or 3 years. I guess I'm kind of recounting my sort of awakening here.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the election, what just looked like rampant election fraud and a system just ripe or ready to be corrupted, and I didn't see anybody in the opposing party really standing up to it very much. I mean, you saw articles and people maybe saying something, hinting about it.
Words but no action.
Exactly. And it just got me thinking, why is this? Why won't somebody, this seems like something everybody could be concerned about, but why not? And then I guess because it's just a lever that they can pull whenever they need it. Speaking of the globalists or whoever. But it's that was sort of my trigger event. Before that, I was, I grew up in a very, very contemporarily liberal household. My father's a college professor, and a really bright guy. He travels the world. People come to hear him speak, and he's gone to studied all around the world. And I talked to him about some of this stuff, and it just doesn't sink in. He sort of, calls me a right-wing nut or something like that.
Yeah.
And I say things to him like, you see these pictures of people reading Pravda and watching their state television shows in other countries and communist or oppressive countries. What makes you think what you're watching when you're watching maybe NewsHour or MSNBC or CNN or whatever, what makes you think you aren't being fed the same thing? Why can it happen to other people and it can't happen to you? And that was just a question I asked them, and it's a question I asked myself for a long time. It's sort of like when you attribute some kind of gullibility to somebody else that you won't attribute to yourself or your own countrymen, that's kind of delusional.
It is, I would call that a psychological aberration.
Yeah, how you mean as far as is affecting everybody?
Well, I think about this, and while you were talking here, I'm thinking, I heard this quote once, and I'll paraphrase it, maybe I won't get it exactly right, but brave men can only die once. A coward will die 1,000 deaths. And the only reason that a coward is going to die 1,000 deaths, because there is a little part of him, a little tiny part of him, that is going to remind him of something that he is not, something that he has not done. Otherwise, in my mind, they're psychologically screwed up. They are totally gone. They're brainwashed, that they don't know the difference of right or wrong anymore, or justice versus tyranny, that they don't understand it, that they themselves have never been a free man, that they themselves have always been a slave. And they revile the fact that somebody is courageous or has courage. You know, let me ask you a question, Andrew. Did you ever see the movie Patton?
Yes.
Okay. George C. Scott played the role. Did a fine job at it.
Blood and guts.
You remember the soldier that he slapped?
Because in the hospital.
In the hospital because he didn't want to go up to the front. He thought he was having a nervous breakdown.
Right.
And he looked at that young soldier. He slapped him. And he said, get him out of here and get him back to the front. He said, you're on a front laying in this hospital with these brave men that have been wounded in battle. He said, you make me sick. They climbed all over Patton like he was the Antichrist. But he did it for a specific reason, to try to get the fear out of that kid, to make him more afraid of General George Patton than he was of himself.
Yeah, sort of like the Gomer. They say, get out of my emergency room.
Yeah.
Is what they say in the medical profession nowadays.
That's right.
When you have somebody who's a hypochondriac or whatever tag you want to get him with.
Yeah, I got to apologize because I think I might have missed a couple of sentences you're in there. I didn't mean to confuse this. I was talking to my producer. But
no, that was a good point. You know, I have a very I come from a very unique background. I've lived some overseas, and I've been in a lot of different situations around a lot of, I think, interesting people. I mean, people sometimes we would characterize as so bright they can't tie their own shoelaces.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know how to get through sometimes to people. But I realize that what real freedom is.
Hey, Andrew, hold on one second. I'll let you finish that thought. I just want to tell people that Mike Piper is sick tonight, and I'm going to be doing his show. So the callers are on board, and the people who thought about calling in because they were going to miss the show and they didn't want to confuse topics or flow of the programming, don't worry about that. I'm going to be sitting in for Mike Piper tonight. So you callers out there that thought about calling in, please call in. We'll be here for another hour and 8 minutes. I'm sorry, Andrew. Go ahead, continue.
Well, you know that I just don't. How would you suggest that this topic is broken or breached when you're broached or when you're amongst other people? I mean,
what I would do, Andrew, and this has been my stock response to this, and this works very well for me. And I know that we're all dying to impart information. Well, most of us are. To impart this wonderful gem that we have discovered, this truth that we've discovered. And we want to talk to people, and we want to tell them what's really going on, and we're begging them to listen. But what I have discovered is that sometimes we want to talk too much.
Right.
Sometimes we don't listen enough to the person's concern. We don't draw them out with their own insecurities or their own fears. And here we are with this basket load of good information that once we engage a person, and we find out what's really bothering, what really concerns them. And it may be as something as maybe losing a house because they can't find a good job. They're overqualified. The job market is dried up or whatever the case may be. We always have in our little bag of tricks a little bit of wisdom that we can impart on somebody. So what I'm saying here is find out what the people are concerned about. And then spoon feed them a little bit of information, and it will draw them out that they will want to listen to you. It's kind of like the opposing magnet type of thing, that we have these forces, and we try to force them together, and they want to pop back apart. But try changing the polarization on that. Engage them, let them draw them out, let them speak to you, and then spoon feed them a little information. See if there's a light on inside, and if there is, They want to know a little bit more, and then they'll want to know, maybe not all at the one sitting. Maybe it'll be a course of a week or a month, sometimes 6 months. But they'll keep coming back because they're going to realize something, that you know something that they don't. And you want something that drives the human spirit absolutely nuts? Try standing around with a Cheshire grin on your face, like you know something that somebody else doesn't, and they will seek you out of curiosity.
Right.
Well, pique that curiosity and stroke that curiosity. Let that person come to you. And don't overwhelm them. You can always tell when they're starting to glaze over a little bit. They're getting on overload. Then back off of them. Tell them you have to go. Shake their hand. Smile. Be a man that they want to come back to glean a little bit more information. It works for me.
Good words.
All right, Andrew.
Thank you.
Thank you for your contribution to the network, sir. All right. Jeff in Vermont. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, John.
Hi.
Nice show today.
Thank
I like
you.
It.
Well, it's something that has to be talked about.
Definitely. Your check's in the mail, so don't worry. It's not much. I got a family of four kids, 7 months to 7 years. So,
And we want them to be raised happy and healthy and free.
That's right. And they are. And for the most part, we do our best here. I just want to thank you for your broadcast. You've actually opened my mind and a lot of people around here. Most people around here listen to you on shortwave. I have to listen to you on online. And I listen to you religiously, and you're definitely the best programs I've listened to in a long time. I just want to tell you a little story.
You want to know why that is, Jeff? I was talking with a group of people here at the network today, and you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to have total memory recall. You don't have to have that little Rolodex mind. The only thing that you have to have is a passion and a zeal and a love. That's what you need.
For the truth.
Absolutely.
I brought the kids to the Champlain Valley Fair last Thursday, and we're walking around, and this guy was running for Senate. He was just walking. I know him because just by the face, and you know how politicians... You recognize him, and his name's Bernie Sanders. He's running an independent, and
I know who he is.
Okay, so that's all that could be said. So I was sitting by the Ferris wheel, and I think he had his grandson or something. And he was going around, and standing right next to him. And I said, "Hey, Bernie, how you doing?" Turned to me, he goes, "Hey, how you doing?" His money's Bernie Sanders, and blah blah blah. And I go, "So you've been down in Washington for 9 years now." I know you have Jewish heritage, and I respect that and everything, but I can't believe what your people are doing, you know, with PNAC and AEI and all these, with AIPAC and ADL. You guys are kind of destroying the freedoms that this country was founded upon. And I let him talk, and I go, "Could you please go into detail? Why does it seem that, you know, the Jewish people are doing this?" And he said to me, he goes, and he looked at me square in the eye, and he goes, "You realize that?" And he goes, "And I realize that." He goes, "I want to put an end to this." He goes, "I don't like the people in PNAC. I don't like the people in AEI. I don't like AIPAC. It's just, they took over, you know, and it took them a long time, and I saw it coming, and it's hard to stop something like that."
Well, hang on a second, Jeff. I got to take the break. I'll be sitting in for Mike Piper for this next hour. So give us a call, 800-313-9443. We are in the middle of a pledge drive. Don't forget that. But don't let that stop you from calling in. All right? You stay right there. We'll be back third hour of the extended National Intel Report today. I'll be sitting in for Michael Collins Piper. We'll be right back.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.